Welcome to Wealthy After 40. Ready to ditch debt, retire sooner, and live life on your own terms? Only 54% of Gen Xers feel prepared for retirement, and 22% believe they will live a comfortable lifestyle. So if you're feeling like your finances are a hot mess express, you are not alone. I'm Daylene Higgins, founder of Elevate Finances and money coach for Gen Xers. I reached my dream of retiring at 50 while helping our daughter through college, and now I want to help you do the same. It's time to stop avoiding your finances like the plague and start having confident conversations about money. Join me every week to talk about personal budgeting, debt payoff, saving for retirement, money mindset, and leaving a legacy for future generations. Okay, friends, let's talk money. Welcome to today's episode of Wealthy After 40, and I am so excited for today's guest. I know I say that about every guest, but I feel like they're all necessary in our life and can, you know, bring us the information that we need. So today's guest is Rizik Husari. He is the VP of Wealth Management at Divergent Wealth Advisors. He is a CPA and certified financial planner, professional serving clients nationwide. Rizik graduated with a bachelor's and master's degree in accounting from Brigham Young University and specializes in financial planning, tax strategies, portfolio design, and estate planning. Rizik loves fly fishing, skiing, A&W Zero Sugar, and being outside. So excited. I'm glad you're here, Rizik. And yeah, I just want to know, first, tell us about your passion for money and helping others.
Thank you, Daylene. Appreciate it. I love talking about personal finance. And there's really so much about financial planning that I think often gets overlooked. I think too often in our industry, we focus on investments and making money. And that's really where it stops. For me, at a young age, I learned the power of saving and living frugally and having a budget and preparing for the future. But I did not understand the investing piece, estate planning, certainly not tax planning, and really all that goes into it once you've kind of had your ducks in a row. And so from a young age, I realized, boy, I want to learn. I want to understand. So I went to college, studied accounting because, you know, how else better do you learn money? And as I was learning, I was realizing, wow, there's so much out there that people don't know. And unfortunately, I think in the financial planning, financial advisor space, historically at least, it was almost like you had to go to a professional and pay fees and commissions in order to get access to that advice, or maybe not necessarily even advice, just basic financial education as it pertains to investments and retirement and Social Security, those kinds of things. But here in the last few decades, especially with the advent of social media and videos and your podcast, among other things, we're able to reach a greater audience that really opens the doors to financial literacy. And more than anything, it all traces back to my mother, I think, who instilled in me a great respect and, you know, maybe I'm not sure I would use the word scarcity mindset, but this idea of, hey, let's save and really prepare for the future because there's so many unknowns out there. And I love helping women. That's the largest chunk of people. In fact, I just checked yesterday my statistics on TikTok. The largest majority of people that follow me are women between the ages of 50 and 65. And for me, that's so exciting because too often in our culture and really cultures around the world, we focus so much on the men making the financial decision or the men being the breadwinner or just the men dominating the space as it pertains to money. And I think women are definitely in tune, at least historically, with the day-to-day kind of managing of finances in the home. But we are seeing a shift more and more of women becoming empowered and becoming educated. And anyway, that's a long way of saying that's my mission, is to help empower women and really families to become financially confident.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I remember that from when we connected and it just resonated with me. So I love that. Okay. So we want to work with a financial planner. And we're a little bit scared, right? So what are some questions that we should ask our financial planner or be prepared for?
What a good question, Daylene. So let me give you a little background. There's really two types of people who are financial advisors. And the term financial advisor, financial planner, it's used very loosely. Sometimes it can mean someone who's going to sell you a life insurance product. Sometimes it's an annuity they're trying to force down your throat. Other times it might just be a mutual fund that's really expensive, has a large commission. Sometimes it might be what we call a fiduciary. Now, the word fiduciary is a word that gets tossed around quite often as well. Essentially, it means someone who's legally obligated to act in your best interest. Now, you would think that anyone who calls themselves a financial advisor or someone at least that you hire to help guide and direct you in planning for your retirement, your future, would be legally required to act in your best interest, or at least they would want to. But unfortunately, that's not the case. There is a lesser standard of conduct, which we call a suitability standard. And so maybe one of the first questions I would ask anyone who called themselves a financial advisor is, are you a fiduciary? And are you going to always act in my best interest? That will give you a good flavor. Either they'll get kind of nervous when you ask them that question, or they'll be excited to tell you and probably curious of how you learn that word. So that's called fiduciary. The next question I would ask is, what experience do you have? What types of clients do you work with? And what kind of, you know, education do you have? Some people, as a midlife crisis, will make the pivot and all of a sudden start selling products or investments under the title of financial advisor, and they really don't have any education or background in the field of finance or accounting or taxes. So those would be some initial questions. I'll tell you, there are some differences between people who call themselves financial advisors other than the fiduciary piece, and that is how they make money. So many financial advisors will try and pitch to you a whole life insurance product or universal index life or IUL type product. Essentially, it's life insurance with an investment aspect or flavor to it of what we call cash value. Oftentimes, they also are connected with annuities, which is another type of investment product. These are typically sold by life insurance companies. And so these, sometimes what I call them are life insurance salesmen or women masquerading as financial advisors. And I won't say that all life insurance products are bad. I won't say that, but I will say that historically, there's been a low barrier of entry for people who call themselves financial advisors to jump into this market or into this kind of style of business and start pitching that. But I'll tell you this, if you start asking them questions about your own personal tax situation, or when's the best time to take Social Security, or estate planning questions like, do you need a will? How about a trust? Do you need power of attorneys? They typically will either be unable to talk about those topics from a standpoint of their company's rules and regulations. But I think more often than not, they're just unfamiliar with that space. And so if I were looking for a financial advisor, I'd be looking for someone that at least has exposure and understanding. They don't necessarily have to be a tax attorney or an estate planning attorney, but to have some, you know, experience in that space so they can speak to, because I think the best time to hire a financial advisor is when you want to bring in your tax professional who's doing your taxes, maybe an estate planning attorney, if you have a business on the side, maybe a business attorney, so that you're all working in concert together and on the same page. And I'll tell you this, you know, when I work with a professional, the last thing I want to hear is, oh, I'm unexperienced in that space. Go work with so-and-so, or I can't talk about that. I'd much rather hear from somebody, you know, here's the little bit that I do know. There's a lot I don't know, but let me give you maybe one or two professionals that you might consider working with. And here's why, here's their specialties. Does that kind of give you some insight there?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Connecting people is so important and filling in those gaps. And that's what I try to do myself as a financial coach. Because yeah. I can only educate, right? So I know there's some people out there calling themselves financial educators as well that are also selling those insurance products. And I thought they would be similar to myself and just had, you know, given themselves a different name. But, you know, you got to be careful about the titles and what they're doing. So yeah, I just coach people with their money to do better. And then Rizik is able to take that and make a better life, right? Make a whole life, especially when you're talking about tax planning and estate planning. So I think that is very, very important. If somebody comes and works with you, they feel confident and they're discussing things with you to, you know, help better their money situation. I'll just leave it loosely at that. But what if, do you tell them what to do or do you give them options?
What a good question. You know, it really comes down to their goals and what kind of relationship they're looking for. The vast majority of the families and the clients that I work with, they're looking for someone to partner with them and guide them through the decision-making process. Some financial advisors will work with you and say, hey, I'll take care of everything. Like, you don't have to think about a thing. We're going to manage your day-to-day operations, including like your checking, your savings, those kinds of things. We often call that a family office. Essentially, that's ultra high net worth, where they really take care of everything for you. For the vast majority of people, they're not looking for that. It's very costly and expensive. They're looking for an advisor, right? Someone that's actually going to give them advice as opposed to selling or pitching them a product or investment. And so that relationship looks like this. If somebody comes to me and, for example, yesterday someone asked me, Rizik, should I have a Roth IRA or should I make a Roth contribution to my 401k? I'm not sure. You know, let's think through, when do you think you're going to retire? How much income you think you might need? Or maybe an alternative question is, how much are you currently living on? What expenses do you have? And what do we need to fund that? Where are you at currently in your taxes? And where do we think taxes will be in the future? For example, at the end of 2025, we know the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act will sunset. At least it's slated to. We'll see what happens with your Congress and what changes with taxes. But there's an awesome tax planning opportunity in the next few years. What does that look like for you? And what are the pros and cons of making that decision today? Now, ultimately, at the end of this conversation, if you're understanding the reason why an advisor is making a recommendation, that relationship just works so much better because you're both on the same page. And it really helps to build that long-lasting trust, as opposed to someone saying, hey, just go toss $6,500 in your Roth IRA this year and let's call it a day and we're going to invest in X, Y, and Z. And so for me, the more, and really for you out there, the more that you can understand the reason why an advisor or really any financial or professional that you bring into your life is making a recommendation, and the conflicts of interest that an advisor has when they're making that recommendation, that can go a long way. For example, a lot of financial advisors, a common question I should say, is that when you're nearing kind of your 50s and your 60s as you're approaching retirement, should you pay off your home? Most people can still have a mortgage at that point, and they're curious. They want to go into retirement without having that monthly mortgage payment. Well, as a financial advisor, many financial advisors are paid a percentage of the assets that they manage for their clients. And so if they tell you, hey, don't pay off your mortgage, we can invest that money somewhere else, then all of a sudden there's a conflict. Sometimes that's not always in the best interest of the client, of you, because you want to pay off your mortgage for maybe a number of reasons. Maybe it has to do with interest rate. In my experience, that's really not the biggest reason. The biggest reason is just that peace of mind, knowing you no longer have to make that mortgage payment. So that's just one example. And back to your other question, Daylene, I missed one. If I was looking for a financial advisor, I would ask them if they're a certified financial planner or a CFP professional. This is really the gold standard as it pertains to financial planning and financial advice. This is someone who's gone through a rigorous course of education. They've taken an exam. They have a number of years of experience in the field. And it really kind of sets them apart. In the world of financial advising, we call it an alphabet soup, meaning there are so many letters that a financial advisor can tack onto the end of their name, and it doesn't necessarily reflect, you know, who knows what that means. Maybe that's another way of saying it, but the CFP is probably the most well-recognized out there. So does that help answer your question?
Yes. Yes. Okay. That is awesome. Yes. You know, sometimes those letters don't mean much and sometimes they do, but understanding that will help us. Yeah. All right. So what is one thing listeners can do before working with a financial planner? How do they prepare themselves?
Wonderful question. So probably the first thing a financial advisor is going to ask you is, where are your assets and investments? And kind of where are they located? Are they in a 401k? Are they in an IRA? Are you investing in one of my favorite financial retirement accounts, the health savings account, which I'd be remiss if I didn't make a plug for it. Most people out there don't recognize that they can invest in an HSA, but it's a powerful retirement planning vehicle. Essentially, they're going to ask you to look for, you know, where are your assets right now? The next thing they'll ask you for is what are your goals? Now, that's a pretty ambiguous question. You know, what does that mean? Nobody knows when they're going to pass away, how long they're going to live for, who their kids are going to marry, and if they're going to like their in-laws or not. But there's a lot that kind of goes into what do you expect life to look like? Maybe what's your health expectations? You know, what's your family history like? And what do you want to do with the money later on in life? Those are going to be the driving questions to determine if it makes sense to invest in X, Y, or Z, or in what account we should invest, or how we should take money out for retirement, or when we should donate to charity, or how we should donate to charity, for example. So really understanding where you're at in finances, and probably the number one thing above all is how much you're spending, because that is the biggest indicator when we build a financial plan for the success of your plan. That's the biggest hinge point. If we don't understand where you're spending, whether it's in taxes, which for most Americans represents probably the largest expense that's going out the door, that many people just let taxes happen to them. They never actually take the time to learn, or at least the simple level, some basic strategies. And then, you know, your day-to-day living expenses, how much you're spending on vacation. And one common one, especially as you're getting older, is planning for healthcare, like Medicare. Which plan should you get on? Should it be supplemental or Medicare Advantage? And what are the pros and cons? So those are the things that I would think through in preparing to meet with an advisor.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Rizik. We are glad you were able to educate us more on financial planning. And I do have one final question.
Yeah.
Fee only or commission-based? And how do we choose?
What a good question. You know, I'll tell you this. If I were to pass away tomorrow, I would want my wife and my family to work with a fee-only financial advisor. There's just no question. Now, there's a time and a place for someone to work on commission, and there's pros and cons to that. I think in very rare, select instances, it might make sense. But the reason I'm such a huge fan, and the reason I personally have created my business to be fee-only, is because I think it incentivizes and aligns interests in the best way. For example, if someone works with an advisor who's paid a percentage of the assets that they manage, there's a conflict of interest in that the larger that account grows, or the more those investments do well, the more that advisor gets paid. But on the flip side, there's also a conflict in that that advisor is going to want to manage more of your assets, like we mentioned before with the mortgage. On the commission standpoint, typically those are good for one-off situations. So if you want to go buy this specific product, for example, like maybe a term life insurance, which doesn't pay a lot in commission, and most people who call themselves financial advisors will not be anxious to sell you a term life insurance policy because they don't get paid very much on it. But that might be an instance of when you might engage one. Or if I just got off the phone earlier this morning with an individual who was very scared of investing at all, whether it was the stock market or the bond market, just period. They really had no experience and they really didn't want to get into it. For them, a very simple type of annuity, and I hesitate to even bring that up because really I've seen so, for every good annuity I've seen 1,000 bad ones. Okay, that's an exaggeration, but you get the point. But for them, that might make sense to buy an annuity because it's better than them just holding cash in the bank, earning nothing and losing out to inflation at 6 or 7%. So that might be an instance and when it might make sense, but it's typically transaction-based if you want to go the commission route, where someone who's paid a fee is going to be working with you for a long period of time. They want to build that relationship, and potentially we're looking at decades here to really understand where you're at and build that relationship so that as you get older in life, you've got someone you trust, and potentially your children, if they have questions, you know. For a lot of people, Alzheimer's or dementia kicks in later in life. And it's nice for their children or other people that might have a power of attorney, for example, to have a touch point, someone that they can go to, ask questions, and get a quick answer. And so, and just the conflicts of interest and the way it works. At the end of the day, you know, there's a thousand ways that we can slice this apple in terms of how you get paid. Some people get paid percentage, some is just annual fee. Others are hourly. That's more rare. And then you have the commission. Those are probably the most common ways.
Awesome. Well, thank you for answering that. And if you guys want to connect with Rizik, he is over on TikTok, Finance on the Fly, or you can find him on LinkedIn as well. So those links will be down in our show notes. And we appreciate your time, Rizik, and we will chat with you guys soon. Thanks for listening. Every week, my goal is to help you get one step closer to financial freedom and making confident decisions so your money starts working for you. Do you have any questions from today's episode? Send me a message on Instagram. I'd love to help you gain more clarity around today's topic. Want more exclusive tips, trainings, and resources to help you hit your financial goals fast? Grab my free resource at elevatefinances.us/subscribe. And join my free community to receive access to best tips, tools, and resources in your inbox weekly. And if you're looking for personalized support to get your finances on track for retirement, check out my website at elevatefinances.us to learn more about one-on-one coaching.